You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, March 1st. The madness is coming. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman. Out sick today is the king, Scott Angle. So, of course, I am joined by the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Tony Cicada as well. I am afraid for the next 3 hours, to be quite honest with you.
Why?
Come on, you know.
Why are you afraid, Greg? There you go right there.
You go, because, you know, Scotty is usually, I don't want to say the logical one, but, like, he's able to just...
He's able to move on when we get into foolishness.
No, he, I don't know if that's the
case. He causes a lot of foolishness.
He causes a lot of foolishness, but yeah.
You know he's listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we need him, is what I'm saying.
I think it's just being nice and, I don't know.
Tony, good morning, man.
I got a problem, too.
Ready?
What kind of host are you
when
you announce the guy that's not here as opposed to me and Corey who are here first?
Well, I didn't know order mattered so much to you guys.
Come on. How long have you worked with us?
No, well, me guys.
I mean, I guess you're all me guys, but I normally kind of just go to order. Same order every single day.
Guess know. What?
What?
Nigeria is the most dangerous place to visit in the world.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know it either. Hmm. I was looking over this morning. You know, Greg, especially for you, I'm worried about it because you like to travel a lot. So don't go to Nigeria.
I won't. Nigeria, not on the list. So on the program today, Dr. Ray returns to the program. Inside Injuries, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll get to, of course, NBA. Get some questions for you. Some baseball, and NFL as well. Franchise Tag Day is today, I believe, March 1st.
No.
Tomorrow?
March 9th.
No, that's free agency day.
Okay, so yeah, that's the official start of the season. So
yeah, yeah, we'll franchise tags are due today.
We'll get the tags coming out today, so, you know.
You know, a lot of them have been signed, but, you know, we got some of that stuff today. But we got to start with the big story here of the morning, and that is, of course, Kevin Durant. So last night, Zaza Pachulia basically fell on KD. And he had to leave the game with that knee injury. Now, the Golden State Warriors, this is from Woj, are, quote, bracing for the possibility the all-star forward Kevin Durant could be lost the rest of the regular season or longer with a left knee injury. He went to the MRI last night, checked out the knee damage, and the team officials and members of Durant's inner circle were expressing fear this morning that the knee injury could preclude a return to the Warriors lineup before the playoffs start in 6 weeks. Now, to me, if that's what it is, if it's like an MRI, I'm sorry, an MCL that came out 6 weeks, I'm
fine.
Okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. It's the ACL that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, because the ACL actually probably more than likely wouldn't put KD back in Golden State uniform till post-All-Star break of next season.
Well, you said something there which I found interesting. Put him back in a Golden State Warriors uniform.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has a two-year contract, a one-year opt-out.
Yeah.
Would Kevin Durant opt in if he had towards ACL?
Yeah, I don't really see no reason why. I already told you how I think the situation plays out.
You say he stays, Curry goes.
I think he stays, Curry goes.
Even with a torn ACL, you don't think they're going to re-sign Curry for everything?
The big man is all... a skilled big man is always better than a skilled perimeter player.
Okay. Continue. Sorry for interrupting.
So,
Durant.
Yeah, so that there you go right there. You want to see, but I think, I mean, this team is still a championship team without Kevin Durant.
We've seen it before.
Yeah, we've seen it before.
Well, they should have known. They should
be back to back.
Go sign Andrew Bogut, get the whole band back together again.
I think Bogut, Bogut is not going to clear. So so it looks like Matt Barnes will be inserted into the lineup as we wait the MRI results. Like I said, I saw MCL this morning. I saw ACL this morning, but I don't think either one is official.
Tony, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are you seeing?
It's going to be a problem, right? Going forward, Kevin Durant's out. Stephen Curry's value will go up now. He'll be back to chucking and putting up 30 points a game. Klay Thompson will be back putting up big points here. And Kevin Durant, I hope he's okay, because I really think the Houston Rockets are going to beat them, and I don't want him missing the playoffs.
You really think the Rockets are going to beat him because he's going to just hit more threes, basically?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think you can beat them playing their style of basketball.
That's not their style anymore.
Well, it's going to have to be over the next 2 months. Perhaps, potentially.
They don't have to win. They don't have to. I mean, the next 2 months is kind of a joke anyways, right? They've already clinched a playoff spot.
Yep.
They're going to be the number one seed regardless. Yep. Maybe San Antonio catches them, but nobody's afraid of San Antonio in the playoffs. This is so it doesn't really matter the rest of the way. And the only thing is that Kevin Durant, when he comes back, and if he's able to play in the playoffs, is he going to be the same player?
Right.
I would think probably not, missing 6 weeks. And this is going to be a tough one, but it's sad to see the Golden State Warriors, because you wanted to see, like I said, I think Houston could beat them. I would love to see them against Cleveland again if they go in, you know, into the finals, but missing a guy, and we're going to be robbed of a great playoff.
Potentially. Hopefully it's just, you know, not a serious thing, and he comes back. So we heard as we went on the air that the Warriors are going to sign Matt Barnes essentially to replace Kevin Durant for the next 6 weeks. And it's interesting what the roster route they were going to use, because you had heard that they were going to sign Jose Calderon for some reason. but that roster spot is not going to go to Matt Barnes. But what's cool is sources told Mark Stein, ESPN, that the Warriors plan to sign Jose Calderon as they promised, but then waive him.
They're
still going to pay him. Cool stuff. That's a cool thing about the Warriors.
Steve Kerr.
Well, it's more Bob Myers, but
yeah, but still, you get it. That's
the organization.
That's the organization. Yeah, that's, you know, that's why they're successful.
I think it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think it's cool, pretty cool too. Jose Calderon didn't do nothing to deserve that.
The Warriors, as Tony mentioned, already clinched. They have already clinched the playoff spot. The only thing they're fighting for now is the number one seed here. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they're able to achieve that without Durant. They wind up losing last night in Washington in Durant's hometown. Oh, yeah, that's awful. That's awful.
So, you know, he has the whole crew there with him.
That sucks. I feel bad.
No, he'd be all right, Greg. He's plenty of money. You know what I'm saying? he'd be straight. You'd like, but you know, from a fan standpoint, obviously the injury is sad. But also, you know, you if he's not back in time for those big series down the stretch with a potential Cleveland, a potential Houston, you kind of feel like you get robbed of those. But I still think the Golden State Warriors have to come into this situation as the favorites.
Do you agree with that?
Do you think? I don't think Houston is deep enough.
Tony?
Oh, I think they're pretty deep with the acquisition of Lou Williams, Eric Gordon coming off the bench. I think Sam Decker's a strong player. No, Golden State's not the favorite. The defending champions and LeBron James, and they're doing a great job at adding pieces to this puzzle with bringing in Deron Williams to be a backup point guard, Andrew Bogut to be a backup center. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers, if Kevin Love is back and close to playing what he was, and hell, he didn't play last year, he didn't play the year before in the playoffs. I think Cleveland's the favorite. I think they take down Golden State with Kevin Durant.
I think Cleveland has to be the favorite as well. Defending champs, they're the same team too. Love should be back, no problem. You get the same team, if not better. I mean, J.R. Smith should be back as well, Corey.
Yeah, I get all of that, but you still, this is a team that still had that 3-1 lead last year. Now, obviously, a healthy Cleveland team. We saw them come back last year in remarkable fashion. They have LeBron James, the best player on the planet. But I just look at the way LeBron was acting about a month or so ago. That wasn't because, you know, he didn't feel as if Cleveland was up to snub. He knew that what they had brewing in Golden State, that he had no chance to beat them.
Yeah, but I think he put pressure on management to do exactly what got done. You got a superstar like Deron Williams coming as a backup. Andrew Bogut, who's an elite defender of the rim, coming back. So he basically got accomplished what he wanted to do.
It's true. He basically did. He kind of stomped his feet and banged on the table and got what he wanted. He didn't feel like that.
Yeah, Williams, though?
Well, guy's a three-time All-Star for backup.
He was playing well.
Yeah, man. I just look at him overweight. You know what I mean? Will these situations be too big for him? obviously, you know, it's Kyrie Irving is still the guy. You know what I'm saying? Steph can't defend anybody, but I don't know. I think it's still interesting. I think both teams obviously do meet up in the championship with or without Kevin Durant. Tony, you seem to think that Houston has a good shot also.
Houston's a team that you don't want to play because it's so crazy. It's like with the Golden State Warriors before Durant was there, that you would never think that Golden State back in the day would be able to win a contest because you shoot that many threes and it's only 4 out of 7. You get hot, you get cold for 2 games and you're all done.
Yeah.
This Rockets team, they threw up the second most three-pointers ever in a game the other day. Lou Williams comes in, Eric Gordon come off the bench. They spread people out. Harden goes to the hole. This is going to be a tough team, especially with Stephen Curry not playing any defense.
Yeah, I think that is the team in the West that is more than likely can get it done.
Are we sleeping on the Spurs as normal?
The Spurs, I don't think the Spurs can do it.
No, I think this is the worst Spurs team in 15 years.
Then how are they so good, though?
Because they have a system. Everybody knows their role. And as we see, nobody cares about the regular season in the NBA.
Yeah, I guess not.
Regular season in the NBA is kind of, ah.
I guess you guys are right.
But it's going to be interesting to see what the word is. Obviously, the MCL puts him back probably about the second round of the playoffs or so. The ACL puts him back after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this from a, you know, we're getting ready for the NCAA tournament. Say a month or so ago, a high school player tears his ACL this deep into the season. Would they lose their scholarship?
So yes. No. It depends how good they are, right? Like it depends on the playing situation.
I'm talking about like a top prospect.
They can take it away.
Well, of course they can, but they can also not. Like you look at Duke, Harry Giles tore his ACL, and they kept his scholarship. He came back.
Was he already in the program, though?
No. He was a senior in high school.
He
was a senior in high school. And he did not play. Or maybe he's a junior and didn't play his senior year because of the ACL. And he came back and he, like, took a month or so to come back. And play for Duke. He didn't start the season on time.
Yeah.
He was coming back from that knee injury. So it depends on the player, right? They can do whatever the hell they want, obviously.
Yeah.
They can pull as many scholarships as they want. And I'm sure some players that aren't as good as a Harry Giles do lose their scholarship.
Yeah. So I guess that's what it is. It's interesting, you know, because I think the one that I remember as, like, probably the saddest injury that I've probably ever seen in my time watching sports was, that was Willis McGahee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Willis McGahee, yeah.
That was the worst.
That was terrible. But, he still rebounded and had a very good NFL career.
You know, he sure did.
Mm-hmm.
But he got picked 15th in the draft, too, so Drew Rosenhaus was a magician.
Well, that was when Rosenhaus became a star that night.
Yeah,
He was able to get Rosenhaus. He was able to get, he picked in the first round, and we saw that before. We saw that later with some Rosenhaus guys as well. So then you have to think about, like, a guy like Marcus Lattimore, right? Like, that was a guy.
That was a nasty injury, Marcus Lattimore. Yeah.
Never played in the NFL.
Never got a chance.
That was a guy who was going to be the first round running back, the whole deal. He got drafted, luckily, and then that was it.
Marcus Lattimore, Mr. South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
He was going to be a big-time player, too. But, you know, you hit Jalen Smith, obviously, last year. But he got, I don't want to say lucky. His brother played for the Cowboys. So, you know, the Jones family was like, oh, okay, well, then, you know, we know what kind of kid he is. So we'll draft him and bring him in. They draft him in the second round.
Who's Jalen Smith's brother?
Oh, I can't think of his name right now.
I was wondering really until this moment why they picked him in the second round. It never made sense to me.
Yeah, his brother is a cowboy also.
That's nice. Is it Emmett?
That would probably be his father. Rod Smith.
Oh, Rod Smith. Not the wide receiver, Rod Smith?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Okay. So I always found that interesting.
He's fullback for the Cowboys, so he don't really play. But that's because nobody really employs the fullback anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the brother of Jalen Smith.
Okay. There you go. That's the reason.
So the Jones is new to family, whatever.
Sure. Hey, big ups to you, Corey, and good luck to KD. We hope the injury's not so bad. As soon as we get an update, you will get an update as well. We'll come back and we'll ask the question. Today's March 1st. The madness has arrived. What's going to be the biggest story on April 1st, 1 month from today? We'll discuss next here in the Road to Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Carson, Sincotta, and Sussman with you. Angle off. He's out sick today. Wasn't able to make it in. That's okay, because we got you covered for the next 3 hours. We asked today, given that it is March 1st, 2017, the Ides are coming, the madness is coming, so we ask you, what will be the biggest story 1 month from today? There's a lot of noise coming. There's emails popping. There's sound. So Corey Parson, what will be the biggest story 1 month from today?
1 month from today, April 1st of this calendar year, would be the Saturday of the Final Four.
Okay.
I think the biggest story that day is that we have a classic Final Four that will feature a rematch of the North Carolina and Villanova National Championship game from last year. That will be a Final Four contest this year. As the NCAA takes Kansas, Villanova, North Carolina, and UCLA core programs in the Final Four.
So those are the final. Those are your Final Four. A little early Final Four.
That's early Final Four right there. With the nightcap that night being North Carolina Villanova in a rematch of last year's national championship game.
Let's do it all over again.
Yeah, let's do it all over again.
1 month from today. Tony, 1 month from today, what are we talking about?
The franchise that was the epitome of losing, the Chicago Cubs, will be getting ready tomorrow to take away their back-to-back championships and be the favorite in Major League Baseball to kick it off. And the Chicago Cubs fans will be ready to raise the banner they've been waiting to raise for such a long time.
That's a big one, too. When would the Cubs, they would play that Sunday night,
yeah,
huh?
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They would play St. Louis?
Plays in St. Louis, though.
That's ridiculous.
Well, the MLB schedule is made long before the World Series takes place.
You can't change one game, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the Cubs should open up the season at home.
I agree.
It should be the Cardinals coming in there, Fowler getting his ring, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then him going back to the Cardinals dugout, and then they raise the banner, Chicago Cubs are the champions, right there on the north side.
I like how you
read
about Dexter Fowler. Like, Dexter Fowler's the big deal.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I just came to my mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they should be playing. That game should be played. That's an atrocity. That game should be played on the north side of Chicago.
I agree. I mean, it's not like St. Louis and Chicago are that far.
No, but still, you know what I'm saying?
I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing with you.
You don't think a whole bunch of Cubs fans going to take over that joint,
No,
are you?
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, just make it one game in Chicago. I'm sure they have a day off on Monday.
Yeah.
So then just play in St. Louis on Tuesday.
I don't get it. That's not fair. Why would they do the Chicago Cubs like that?
All right, well, again, it's not that they're doing them like that. It's just that the schedule was made beforehand.
I don't like it.
You don't like it.
I don't like it. What do you think, Greg? What do you think is the number one story?
I think that Tony hit the nail on the head here. Like, March Madness, wrapping up. You get the semifinal games. You have no idea what they're going to be yet. And it could be Villanova versus UNC on Saturday night, as you mentioned, Corey. But I think the big story, I think people get excited for opening day. You know, I think that it's a thing that even though baseball is very, very long and sometimes very, very boring, and we're just like, all right, it's baseball on whatever, people get excited for opening day.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I think that because it's Chicago and they're the Cubs and they don't ever win and they won and they'll get rings and raise a banner and stuff like that, they're not doing that. The game is in St. Louis. So it's just a regular Sunday night baseball game.
But people haven't seen baseball in a while.
Yeah. I think that first day where you had the whole bunch of day games and you know, somebody's, you know, people are throwing out first pitches and the flag is on the field.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's opening day, not opening night.
Well, we're getting three games on Sunday, I think.
Really?
Yes.
We're getting three games.
I thought it was only that one Sunday night.
That's what they were doing, but now they have, I think the Yankees play at 1 o'clock, I think that's on Sunday.
At home or on the road? Didn't look that up.
Yeah.
The Yankees, it might be too cold for the Yankees to open at home.
I'll look it up.
They're not smart about that. They don't care.
Yeah,
like, right, whatever. Put on the long john.
Pretty much. Let's see here. On April 1st, that Sunday, New York is in Tampa Bay.
That's not.
Doesn't do it for
that
you.
That does nothing.
New York's in Tampa Bay at 1 on ESPN. Then at 4 o'clock, San Francisco's in Arizona.
Nothing.
No. And then 8:30 Sunday Night Baseball, Chicago is in St. Louis.
That's the big one right there. That's the big ticket item right there. That and the Final Four. As far as the NFL goes that time of year, that's really getting ready for the draft. So, I mean, it would have to be a major story, you know what I'm saying, with some prospect with a you know, some kind of off-the-field thing. But that normally wouldn't come out till later on in the month. So we'll be past the combine. We'll have free agency already rocking and rolling. So, I mean, what could you possibly be looking at NFL-wise at that time of year? April 1st, really nothing.
Just draft stuff.
Just draft stuff, you know.
Yeah. So
NBA.
You got your answers were fine. It's true. Baseball, Chicago, the Cubs, we're talking about. March Madness, we talked about. But you know what the number one story in sports will be?
What's that?
On April 1st, one motherfucking day. WrestleMania!
That's a good one. WrestleMania is April 1st?
April 2nd, Sunday night.
What's the main event going to be? Oh, God, is the Undertaker still have to do his annual match?
Yeah, he'll be there. Undertaker will be taking on Roman Reigns.
That should be a good one, though.
Maybe.
You don't seem like you're excited about taking Reigns.
Yeah, doesn't do it for me. But the main event is expected to be Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg for the World Championship.
How old are those dudes?
Old. Goldberg's like 50-ish.
Why they
Brock's late 30s.
Why they got two 50-year-old men?
Because people
he's
pay
exactly
for
50.
Yeah. He's 50?
Yep.
Because people like people that you know haven't watched wrestling in 20 years be like, oh, Goldberg's fine. I don't know, let me buy this. You know? And Brock Lesnar, household name, obviously.
Yeah.
So Goldberg versus Brock.
Where's WrestleMania at?
WrestleMania this
Orlando.
Year returns to Orlando, cool. And it'll be attended by Tony Zingata.
No, that's real cool.
I got to fly out of the Grand Street Tavern and head to WrestleMania.
Orlando at the.
Can I come with you?
Oh, you know what? There's plenty of tickets available for not that expensive, actually.
Really?
Where is it? It's in the where the Magic play at?
No, Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
Outdoors.
Mm-hmm. I forget. It's the campground something. They call it now.
Oh, they don't go to the Citrus Bowl anymore?
No.
Whatever the Citrus Bowl used to be is where it is.
Yeah.
Whose home field would that be?
Whose home field would that be? Roman Reigns from Florida. He's from Pensacola.
I'm talking about. Oh, that's. So who would play at the Citrus Bowl?
Oh, what, a football team?
Yeah, the Gators don't play there.
No, who plays the Citrus Bowl now?
I don't think anyone.
Yeah, nobody.
No. UCF yeah. maybe.
Hmm.
It's in Orlando, right? It's called Camping World Stadium now. I was telling you.
Nobody plays there.
Camping World Stadium. It is the home to the Russell Athletic Bowl. The Citrus Bowl, the MLS, Orlando City SC of Major League Soccer.
This is not a big venue.
No.
I thought WrestleMania was shooting for, like, big venues. You know what I mean?
Well, they are. I mean, they were at MetLife a couple of years ago. Jerry World as well.
Yeah.
Jerry
broke the record at Jerry World.
So the record attendance at the Citrus Bowl was last time WrestleMania was there in 2008.
Yeah, what was the attendance?
74,635. That's a lot of people.
That's not Jerry World, though.
No,
Jerry
it's not
World Jerry World put 90,000 at WrestleMania.
They put 100,000.
They put 100,000 at WrestleMania.
At least they announced 100,000.
And that was the one that was, that broke the record from the Pontiac Silverdome, right?
Yes.
Now that was a great WrestleMania.
They had 101,763.
Yeah, that's Jerry
World. At Jerry World. And the next year, I believe it returns to the Superdome in New Orleans.
That's where it goes next year?
That's where it's going next year.
Yes, that is true.
So, yeah, one month today, I think people are talking about WrestleMania.
I'm cool with that. You know, you got WrestleMania. I got the rematch Villanova in North Carolina.
And Tony's got the Cubbies.
And Tony's got the Cubbies. So there you go right there. Now, what's going to happen in the meantime, in between time, is yet to be determined. Should be a fun March Madness. Got some spring trainings. There will be injuries. You know what I'm saying? That we'll be talking about going into the regular season.
It's not fair.
I
don't like that.
But it's the truth, though.
Yeah, I know. Makes me upset.
The one I can't take is the ball coming back at the player. You know, I don't like that.
The ball coming back.
Battered ball coming back at the plate.
Matt Shoemaker.
Yeah, those guys that have that happen to them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't. Like I told you, I'd retire.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be scared shitless.
Yeah, I would retire. How could you go out there and do your job after that?
That's why I agree. I think it's a thing. I think it's a thing. Like, how can you get your mechanics right and do everything right and think so precisely when the last time you were on a mound in a game you got hit in the head?
I can't do it. I couldn't do it. Maybe does it mean I'm not mentally tough? Is that what that means?
I don't know. What if you were on the other side? What if you like Giancarlo Stanton got hit in the head? Would you play again?
Yeah, because I think when you step into the batter's box with like, okay, what if I was to get hit and that's been on your mind probably since your whole career of playing?
Getting hit in the head rather than the shoulder is a big difference.
No, I agree, but I think...
But you get protection when you're Stanton, though, now.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
True, too.
That's a good point.
You have protection. You don't expect the pitcher to hit you in the head, but the pitcher is, like, he's in a very awkward position with that ball coming back at him like that. I don't like to see that. When those things happen, I change the channel. You know how they give you that warning, this is very disturbing? I just change the channel. I don't even... I haven't seen Derek Carr's injury. I've never, you know, from this past season, the kid, what was the kid in Louisville? I never saw that.
Really?
I never saw that injury. Really? I never saw Paul George's injury. I don't watch
those things. The exec gets queasy.
The only one, I saw the young man that played for the Warriors.
Oh, Sean Livingston.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
That was a horrific one. Obviously, Willis McGahee was pretty bad. We talked about that earlier. And then it was, of course, Joe Theismann. I saw Joe Theismann. But when Joe Theismann, I was too young to realize how disgusting it was. You know, Joe Theismann has never seen it.
I did. You've told me that before.
Yeah,
I did know that. Crazy.
Yeah.
Still,
I wouldn't want to watch it either if I was Joe Theismann.
Would you? What if you got hit in the head? Would you watch that? Would you watch that?
Pitcher or batter?
Both.
As the batter, I could watch it. As the pitcher, I couldn't.
Why? What's the difference?
That's too fast. It's a hit ball coming back at you. And you really could be in a bad position where you can't protect yourself. And me sprawled out all over the floor like that, who wants to see that? You know what I'm saying? Sprawled out all over the floor, bleeding, you know what I'm saying? Teammates come out around me.
Yeah.
All the ladies run out the stands, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Yeah. I'm with you. Take a break.
Think you can get back on the field after that?
I'm scared. I don't know. I don't know that I could. Like, I think I'm mentally tough. I don't know if I could.
Like, what if one of these lights fell and hit you in the head while you were broadcasting? You think you'd be able to come back and broadcast again?
I can come back and broadcast again.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Take a break. Come back. I want to ask you guys an etiquette question. I know we talk a lot about etiquette on this show.
Oh, yeah,
draft etiquette. Mm-hmm. I got a question for you guys. It kind of bounces off what we were talking about yesterday. So stick around for that. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. You're all the Roto Experts in the Morning. A little etiquette question for you.
Etiquette. Draft etiquette.
Right. So I talked about, I've said it many times, you know, I'm trying to get my players' heads, like talk, move around, wait, whatever, have a couple of brewskis.
Will you bring the woman down from the hotel to drop her towel?
I like the move.
Yeah.
I like the move. I've never done it, I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
People get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in it.
Scott would be gone.
A lot of people would be gone, not just Scotty.
Not on draft day. You couldn't get me with Tatas on draft day.
I don't think you can get me either.
I mean, this is okay.
Yeah. I'll take Mike Trout.
You're 42.
Come here, baby.
Yeah. That's post-draft.
Post-draft.
Would it throw you off tone?
Not at all. Yeah. I think that, hell, I mean, if we had it in a strip joint, if we were there, Scott would love to see Scotty at a strip joint during a draft.
What do you focus on? This
Scott wouldn't draft.
No.
Scott wouldn't draft.
I agree with you.
Scott, like...
No, he goes during the day. That says enough.
So, dialing it back, because my question is not nearly as exciting.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's not nearly as exciting, so I don't want to, like, build up expectations.
Go ahead. I like your question, though, because I have an answer.
I appreciate that. So, you're sitting next to somebody in the draft. Like, you're at a table, right? And all of a sudden, you hear your buddy or your friend or your opponent, you say, oh, man, I'm looking at my sheet, and if Gerrit Cole gets back to me, I'm going to take Gerrit Cole. Like Garrett Cole's my guy, and whether he's talking to somebody else, his partner. Let's say his partner.
Let's say you just look over at his cheat sheet and he's circled Garrett Cole.
Or like he's crossing out guys, and the next guy on his list is Garrett Cole.
He puts a check by it.
And he's looking at how many people are left the room, and he's like, all right, Garrett Cole, that's my guy. That's my guy. He's talking to his partner. He looks at his list, and you're sitting next to him, and you're like, oh shit, I didn't even realize Garrett Cole was still on the board.
Yeah.
I must have missed him. You had no idea this guy was even left. For whatever reason. Like, you missed him, you crossed him out by accident, whatever. You had no clue that Garrett Cole was still out there. Is it poor etiquette to be like, oh, all right, I'll take Garrett Cole.
I'm taking Garrett Cole, especially if I'm on a turn. I'm taking him.
What is the turn any different?
Because I'm hoping, what if I have another player in mind, in my queue? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take your guy and see if you send my guy back around to me, and I get your guy and my guy.
That's crazy. I agree, and it happens when people yell out the name and it ain't their pick too.
Yeah, that's another time when it happens. You're right.
Oh yeah, that's true. So is it then bad etiquette? So let's say a guy does that, right? He's two picks away. It's your pick now. He goes, oh, I want Garrett Cole, and he's, oh wait, it's not your pick, dude. It's your pick, Tony. Would you then go, all right, I'll take Garrett Cole?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that bad etiquette?
Absolutely. No, that's not bad etiquette. That's teaching a guy a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a draft room. We're not here to play. You know what I'm saying? You don't scream out nothing. You be very selective with your picks. And then, of course, it's the mind game. You know what I'm saying? I want to eliminate you before the season starts. That's my goal.
I know we all say that, and it's fun. Is that really realistic? Eliminating you before the season starts.
I think it can be done. I think some people lose mentally.
Have you ever been able to psych someone in so deeply out of a draft, realistically?
I haven't personally done it.
Have you seen it done?
I've seen it done.
Story time?
Celebrity fantasy football draft.
Okay.
Adam Schein.
Mm-hmm.
Psych Scott Engel totally out the draft 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. It took him totally out the draft 2 years in a row.
By making fun of his crown?
Making fun of the crown. Oh, look at this guy, Scott Engel. You didn't wear the crown this year. Scott's done.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. I know Scott. I've been with Scott for years. I was with Scott at both those drafts. Scott was mentally popped. He was out of it.
Didn't he make the finals one of those years?
And he lost to the Miz.
In the finals, though.
Yeah.
There's only four teams to play against.
Scott, I mean, Scott John Hansen, the only people that set their lineup.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Scott should have been one that. He never had a chance to win it. That's not on his resume. You know what I'm saying?
But it's hard to say he was psyched out in any of the finals, even though only four teams are updating. He still made the finals.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that, but I still think that I think Scott was out of it on those draft days.
That's his job. Like, if he doesn't make the finals, that's a joke.
Tony,
like, him not winning is the biggest blemish of his career.
Tony, have you ever seen somebody? have you ever seen somebody psyched out at a draft?
No, at an auction, though, I have.
How so?
Like, there'll be talking, and there'll be guys bidding up certain players, and they only bid when certain guys do, and they gets in their head, and they start building insane amounts of money. On guys, and then they get 11 $1 players at the end.
Scott Schwanner in Tout Wars, totally psyched out, left like $178 on the table.
Really?
Not that much, but you know what
Obviously.
I'm saying? Yeah, but it was a big number he left on the table 1 year. You know what I mean? Just totally psyched out.
Well, so I think in auctions in particular, actually, you can psych yourself out. Like, I have seen in auctions before, you wind up looking so hard for deals.
Yeah.
And you don't wind up with spending any money. Like, you're like, oh, this guy I thought this guy should have been a $30 player. Why is he going for $40? And that happens over and over and over and over again. And you're left with just crap, basically.
You're getting your own head.
So you're either A, overpaying for somebody, or B, when it's all said and done, you're just left with all this money at the table.
That's embarrassing. To be left with that kind of money at the table is embarrassing, especially if you consider yourself an expert or a professional player. You should not walk out that draft room with no more than $3 or $4 on the table.
But should you even be left with $3 or $4?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, I think get you it
did,
all out.
I to me, if you're left with $4, let's say, to me you did something wrong.
I agree. And That's how I feel about that particular scenario right there.
Tony, are you okay with leaving money on the table?
I don't think I ever have, but I could see it at the end. He very rarely comes into play. No, probably not. But $3 or $4, I wouldn't worry about. Anything over $5, I would say somebody missed out on a player earlier.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about DFS. If I leave more than, if I leave 300, 400 bucks on the table.
That's a huge mistake.
300 or 400 bucks on the table, I don't mind. But if I leave 500 bucks, I get a little nervous.
No, that's a big mistake. If you have the best lineup in DFS, it's right. A huge difference than an auction. For one, if you're playing a tournament, you have a contrarian lineup because Nobody else is going to do that because people feel like they're there. And so many times I've seen people change when they think they have the optimal lineup because they have the 500 bucks. Like, nothing else have they changed for. And then you go and you lessen your team. Like, if you kept your team, you would be better. Once you find that you have the best lineup, you got to keep that.
I agree, but it's very tough to do. It's very tough not to do. You will have a lineup, and you'll have $1,200 left, and I'm like, I got to go spend this for $100. I'll be honest, I can't.
$1,200 is a lot of money.
You could see it.
That's not 500 bucks.
You're playing in the Monday-Thursday contest for NFL?
Right.
You can leave $200 in salary just easily.
Right.
But me, I'm going to find a way to spend the whole thing.
Depending on the number of games. Yeah. Depending on the number of games, that definitely comes into play. Like, even in the NBA, if you have a 3-game slate on, like, a Thursday night, it's not a bad thing. You can have the optimum lineup, and then you realize that one player, if I could put this guy in, but he's 1,600 more. And so all of a sudden you leave that 1,200 on the table.
That's a lot of money for me to leave on the table.
I can't. I'm being 100% honest with you. I cannot do it.
I don't think I can do that either.
I can't do it.
What's the most you can leave on the table?
$500-$600 in salary cap.
I don't see.
You can't even go that far?
Whenever it's over $5, I get nervous.
Now, mind you, I've been listening to guys, Tony and different guys, you know what I'm saying, talk DFS for years, and they all say, don't worry about that. If you got the best lineup, you got the best lineup.
But yeah, Tony told me that from day one.
I mentally just can't do it. I have to get as much of that out there as I possibly can. Because I'm like, well, why am I going to leave Steph Curry on, you know, I can move up from Wall to Curry or whatever the case may be, something like that. I'm going to go for it.
Right.
Regardless of matchup, if I can get a chance, I just have a hard time doing that.
I agree.
It could be a perfect situation, too, where Wall's playing like Brooklyn, right?
Exactly.
Right,
and
and
he's less money, and then people go up to Curry just because, you know, they have to spend the money. It's crazy.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. And they don't care the matchups at all.
It takes a lot of moxie to do
that. I think in football, it's easier to have less salary and compete, I think, than any other sport. Because guys get hot, and you have one big day, and you see quarterbacks of all calibers have big days against certain defenses. I think football, you can leave money on the table.
I guess that's fair. I think that's fair. Basketball, it seems harder for me, at least. But
back to drafts and auctions.
By the way, that draft question about stealing a player came from our mock draft yesterday, where downstairs, Florio was talking about a player. I was like, you know what? Screw you. I'm taking this guy.
I like that. I like that style.
That's hardcore.
It was in a mock draft. Because he took somebody I wanted. I got annoyed at him. And he's like, my next pick, I want to take Tyler Skaggs. So I took Tyler Skaggs.
Let me ask you guys this. I've never done this. I've seen dudes do it before. Bringing a significant other with you to the draft or auction and having them sit at the table with you.
Absolutely not. That's illegal.
Oh, I see that too all the time.
That's illegal.
I don't do it.
Piss me off. I'm sorry for getting angry about that.
I don't do
it. What about...
I guess why would I care?
What if they had like a legitimate job? Like, what if they were like running Corey's... his little thing there that he uses to keep track of all the drafts.
My app. If they were in charge of the app, fine. Right?
Well, I think that, okay, then you're like a partner almost.
Then that's like a caddy.
That's fine. I don't need, like, when is this going to be over?
My God. Can you imagine that?
No.
I would be, that's my day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then when you get there, a lot of times you'll see, and I'm like, are you trying to show off? Like, what is your MO? What is your motive when you bring your significant other with you to the draft?
So to be fair, in all my years doing this, the only time it's ever happened is if we went to one of my buddy's apartments. He was married or engaged or whatever.
Yeah, and his woman was
there. She lives there. But she'll go to the room. She'll close the bedroom. No, she doesn't want to deal with us degenerates.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, she doesn't want to do that. But that's
the
it.
The NFBC. Yeah, people pay $50 to bring their wife to the draft. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Why?
I don't know.
Because people like to show off.
What are you showing off? Oh, look at me, honey. I took my trout.
Yeah, oh, I have a hot wife. All right, we'll leave her here.
That's crazy to me. Why? To be honest, Tony, or Corey, why would my wife or girlfriend want to come to this? She doesn't.
I haven't met one yet. I haven't met one yet.
I can tell you, my girlfriend, that is the last place she wants to be.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And I've seen, you know, like NFBC, whatever, stuff like that. I've seen several dudes, bring their lady out there with them. And the woman be sitting there like, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, she's sitting there in misery, and he's, you know, got his chest poked out while he's losing. And I'm like, I just can't see the logic of bringing your significant other to the draft table with you. I don't get that. Can you open that up for the phones, Greg, please?
844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Would you bring your significant other to draft day?
It's like Tony said, if she has a role, if she's doing this,
I'm not talking about if she's your teammate in any way.
If she is just, hey, honey, you want to go with me to the draft? And she's like, no, not really. And you're kind of like, nah, come with me. That's
I'll buy you lunch, I'll buy you drinks, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, mm-mm.
Let us
I'll
know.
Buy it.
I'll buy you.
You imagine if he had a. That would be the. That guy has no clue. If that guy has to bribe his wife to come, whatever that
misery. I don't think it's right. I don't think it should be done. I don't want to be in a situation. I think people do that to distract the draft table. You know what I'm saying?
What would be worse, though? The guy that brings his wife or the guy that brings his kids?
Ooh, the kids.
What if you have no choice?
Yeah, the kids, I can see it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the biggest fan of it because then you got to kind of tone down the language and the rhetoric and stuff like that.
Right.
And you never know, a guys might want to step outside for a minute, you know what I'm saying, and do their thing or whatever. So it's kind of like, I wish your son wasn't here. But then you got some guys that have the children that are really into it, you know what I'm saying?
So when we come back, Mike Florio has a story that this happened to him.
Very good.
During the draft.
So he's our caller. Tell him to call in. Tell Florio to call in.
844-843-6879. Do you think it's acceptable to bring a girlfriend or a significant other to a draft? Let us know when we come back. Road Rush in the Morning continues after this. Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Parsons and Cotta, Sussman with you, asking, is it okay to bring your significant other to the draft? Mike Florio, our producer, good morning to you. And it sounds like you, sir, have a story.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's going on, Florio?
So, not this past football season, the year before that, I was at an auction football draft. You know, everyone in the league goes, so there's 12 of us there. The guy who hosts it puts out food and snacks and such. So we're drafting, and in the middle of it, one guy just gets up and walks to the front door. And then he comes back with his girlfriend, who brought him food, like pasta and meatballs, and there's no place for her to sit. So now she's sitting in the corner while we're all saying, like, oh, $2, $3, stuff like this. And he starts getting distracted. You know, he's trying to draft and entertain his girlfriend, who is sitting in the corner, and eat the food that he brought her. So when he lost in the championship, you know, we kept blaming, oh, well, if your girlfriend wasn't there, if you weren't distracted with the pasta. And all year we just made fun of it because we thought it was pretty weird. Like, a lot of us have girlfriends and such. We didn't bring them to the draft. So, yeah, the guy got ridiculed all year for doing this.
And here's the thing. I think Florio is right. Like, the majority of us, like, we're capable of getting a woman. It's almost like a braggadocious type move. Oh, my girlfriend is bringing me pasta to the draft. No, she's sitting over there miserable. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to hear about this later on.
She ended up leaving about a half hour or hour into seeing, because she was just sitting there on her phone in the corner the whole time.
Yeah, come on, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You got to treat your lady better than that. You know what I mean?
I don't even want to get a text message from my girlfriend during the draft. I don't. Well, what are you laughing?
This is my day. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not. Like, she'll text me. And the worst thing is, because especially with baseball, baseball's long, right? Mm-hmm. It is a long grind. And she's texting me. It's not like, number one, I don't want any text messages. Number two, it's not like they're important. They're just texting me nonsense and BS. A lot of them, how's it going? How's your draft going? It's fine.
You don't really care. Right. To be honest, you know what I'm saying?
I hate to say it.
Yeah, but it's the truth. You don't really care about it. So, I like I said, I don't think you ban women and children, but I'm just like,
the women. You don't ban them?
No, you don't ban them. No.
That went out, you know, a little while ago.
So, that's how I carry the situation. It's never been done with me. Like, you know, you may come in, oh, what's going on? But you know, if I'm on a, well, let me not say that because that wouldn't be a girlfriend. But like if you're in Vegas for the big fantasy events, you know, that's not a girlfriend. So, like I said, I don't think you ban, but if you're in a situation like Lenny and Andrea, you know what I'm saying? Then it's kind of like, well, I mean, would Lenny bring Andrea to like labor or something like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he wouldn't let her sit next to her. Like, yeah. She would just be around the draft and probably distracting other people. I think, like, Lenny tries to use it to his advantage.
Yeah, I can see Lenny being that guy. Love you, Lenny. Get messages from Lenny Melnick all the time. So shout out to Lenny Melnick, the legend. So, yeah, I don't want to see your girlfriend at the draft. You know what I'm saying? Don't want to see your old lady at the draft because I might hit on her because you brought her. Mm. You think that would cause a problem at the draft room?
No.
Yeah. I can't do it. I don't see no reason for it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But I see people do it all the time. They bring their lady to the draft. You feel what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah. People bring their lady to the draft.
So does that distract them more than anybody else?
I don't know. I think it's foolish. You know what
I'm
saying?
Have you ever had your significant other in a draft? Ever? Honestly?
Nah. Uh-uh. Most of the live drafts, Thomasine hated fantasy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, nah, they're not coming. That's kind of my thing. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, Tony? Have you ever had your significant other at a draft?
No, I would never even play in a league with them either. So.
Same. Oh, absolutely. Would you ever have your kids at a draft, Corey?
Nope. Hasn't happened yet. And I don't think it will happen.
Unless your son's in your league, maybe. He's not into it, right?
He's not into it.
Tony,
a kid would be worse. It would be worse because the kid will want... Dad, I want a cookie. What time do we eat? When do we get done? Can I get a drink?
Yeah, this is boring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But some people, you know, I don't know. Some people have to, you know, you never know what the situation might be. It could be, I don't know. I would be like, I'll take them to my mom's crib or something.
Right.
I don't know. I just, you know, I think draft day is sacred. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of my day.
I got it. Now, I'll be asking this, Corey.
Sometimes I'll be drunk, 6 o'clock in the morning.
How many days do you have out of your days?
Most of my days. My days, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? But that's high in that's very high up on my days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Today is not a me day.
Not a me day.
Well, I'm up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Having a beer.
No. And then, you know, and then I got, you know, you got the Manzos today and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So you got to hang around a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So,
big day at work.
Yeah, it's a big day. You know what I'm saying?
It's a busy week this week.
Yeah, it is a busy week this week, Greg. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot coming your way, including NFL Combine shows this weekend.
Got NFL Combine shows this weekend.
That was pretty exciting. You popped back
up. I had a young lady hit me up last night.
Really?
She wants to hang out. So, yeah. Nice, too. Solid.
All right. It's exciting. Hey!
Sturdy.
More Roto experts coming your way, including some NFL talk next. Let's get into that. And I want to get into the mock draft, too. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.